That's sukkahs. Shabbos chol mod sukkahs. Okay, let's. We're not doing. Yeah, just a few more pesukim until we get there. So we're up to Perek Lamed Vav. Okay, we're up to Perek Lamed Vav. Let me find the place. We're still winding down the Haftorah from Shabbos, from Parshas Parah. Okay, Parshas Parah. A few more pesukim with the pasuk Lamed Vav, I believe. Okay, pasuk Lamed Vav. The pasuk Lamed Zayin, Okay, that's what we're up to. Okay, so again, we're up to Perek Lamed Vav, pasuk Lamed Zayin. Okay, a few more pesukim. This few pesukim, one down the nevuah of regarding of Zorakti Lechem Mayim Tohirim Utahartem. What we lay in, what we read on Shabbos the Haftarah for again for Parshas Parah, Parah Aduma, the Tahara of Klal Yisrael, pasuk Lamed Zayin. Again, Perek Lamed Vav. Pasuk Lamed Zayin. The following, I will seek out Leves for the benefit of the Jewish people. La Sos Lachem to do to them. Hashem says, I'm going to seek this out for this following benefit. Arve Oysom, I'm going to increase them. Katsoin Adam. Very, very bizarre, very unique idea. Hashem says, I'm going to cause them to multiply like sheep. No, that's. What? Hashem's going to cause to multiply like sheep, but what kind of sheep? Not the ordinary sheep, katsoin adam. Now, possibly there are different interpretations of what this means. One interpretation it means regular sheep. It means sheep, but adam means like we'll see before. It means like just like a person, a shepherd has sheep, and the sheep increase. So too, the sheep of an adam that's very wealthy, very successful, whose possessions, whose assets are multiplied. Pasuk Lamed Ches goes on to explain in more detail what kind of sheep we are referring to. Kitzoyin Kodeshim, not your ordinary sheep that just pasture out in the field and do nothing, but sheep that are holy. Kitzoyin Kodeshim, and when, what kind of sheep are we referring to? Kitzoyin Yerushalayim Bimoyadeho. And we'll see in the Mepharshim in a moment, this refers to Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach is the time when the entire Yerushalayim is filled to capacity from beginning to end with sheep. With sheep, everyone is coming to Yerushalayim to be in the Korban Pesach. The sheep represent Achdus, because the entire group must be Nimne Al Haseh. You cannot join a Korban Pesach unless you in advance you register. And there are multiple people who are part of this Chabura, and they also have to eat it together in one location. So this type of Tzoyin Kodeshim is a very unique. It reminds us Mitzadechon, our history, where we all come from, the legacy, where we all come from the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, Betzeisim in Mitzrayim. Mitzad Sheni, it represents Achdus, because in order to eat from this Seh, you have to register in advance, you have to be part of a group. Furthermore, you have to eat it in one location. No one's allowed to just take a Kazais and Chap and go outside. There's a very intense degree of Achdus. And also, it's numerous. It's more because this is Erev Pesach, when the entire Klal Yisrael has been on the regel to bring the Korban Pesach. Kein tiena so will be he'arim hechorivos milayos tzoyin adam. It will be filled with this type of sheep of adam. V'yadu you will then know ki ani Hashem and I am Hashem. Let's see these two pesukim in Sain Lamed Zayin in the Mitzudos David. Oid zos idoresh ritzon loymar oid badavar hazeh yed nidrash lohem. I will be sought out. So he's saying, okay, the word Idoresh does not mean that Hashem. It's interesting. Hashem does not mean that Hashem is going to do the seeking. He interprets this to mean that I will be sought out. Lohem lemalos mishaloisam bedorsham alzos. The people will ask of me. Will make a request. They will make a request of me that they should multiply as tzoyin kadoshim. And Hashem is saying in this pasuk, I will accept their request. Okay, and he goes on to say, what is this request? Okay, Kitzoyin, Pasik, Arbe Oysam, Ritzel Leimar, Vizadav, Sharbe Oysam, Ibn Adam, Kiribu Tzoyin. This is very simple. I'm going to cause them to multiply, just like sheep have a tendency to multiply. Lamed Ches in the Mitzudos, Kitzoyin Kodeshim, Kimispar, like the number, Tzoyin Kodeshim, Bechoyz and Farsh, when is there an abundance of sheep of Kodeshim? Kitzoyin Yerushalayim Bimoyadecha, written in the Leimar, Katzoyin Hamuva Li Yerushalayim, like the sheep that's brought to Yerushalayim, Bimoyadei Hashem in the festivals, V'hakrev al ha-mizbeach, kein tiyena, kamisbar hazeh tiyeh harem, so too will the people multiply to son adam, to lemar, b'marbis, b'nei adam, many people who fish a derech hatsoyim lehis rabois me'od, being that it is natural for sheep to multiply very much, amma milas tsoyim b'derech she'ela, it's in a borrowed expression, al haflogas, haribu due to the abundance of the multitude. Kieni Hashem ha'neman b'mamara. So now it's very interesting over here is we are accustomed, we in Chazal, to when we describe the abundance of Klal Yisrael to be compared either to the stars or to sand. Right? By Yoitzes Achutza, try to count the stars, Ko Yieh Zaracha, your seed. And then we have the other idea is Kichol Ashal Sasayam. And now we have another concept into our collection, sheep. So what exactly is the difference between these three? Okay, so I don't have any really good...
Zone is obviously much less than the other two.
Obviously, it's much less.
Well, the difference between them, sand doesn't multiply. The idea with zone, the reason that we're compared to zone, because their natural is to grow quickly. Sand is sand. I mean, it's there. We have a lot, but it's not growing or whatever the
it's
sand
not growing.
Is. It's already
sheep
there.
Grows. Okay, but one of the main differences between stars, sand, and sheep is sheep are counted. The Hashem says, try to count the stars.
Right.
You can't, impossible. Ko yeh zaracha. Sand is certainly impossible to count. But sheep, and Adraba this Baisa Behema, Hoasiri Yihya Kodesh, every single one of the sheep is precisely numbered. The shepherd knows exactly how many sheep there are. Yeah?
Because maybe it's referring to Yaakov, sheep, he was
a shepherd.
And he knew what kind of sheep will be, so maybe we should.
So you want to say that the three different things correspond to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avram was shown the stars. Yitzchak doesn't say anything about Yitzchak. The way you say Yitzchak refers to the dust. It refers first to sand. I mean, I don't know what it is in the car. And sheep, you want to say refers to Yaakov. Okay, I just opening up an idea. I don't have clarity in this matter. I just want to point out to you is we have over here a third element of what Klal Yisrael is compared to, and that is sheep. And the obvious difference between sheep and stars and sand is sheep are numbered. Every single
sheep.
You count sheep, right? Count Dracula. One sheep, two sheep, right? You count Dracula. You count right. So you count sheep, but the stars and you don't count. Obviously, when you think of the time of Mashiach, it's a milah. Because when something is not counted, when Hashem said Avraham Avinu Koyeh Zaracha, it's wonderful, it's numerous, it cannot be counted, but when something is not counted, it lacks chashivos. You lack an identity. When you're counted, when every single thing has a number is counted, there is an element of uniqueness, of chashivos, of importance.
But that's on an earthly level. When you say we are uncountable, that takes us into a transition.
Right, there are different dimensions. There are different dimensions, but you cannot deny the fact that we're living here on this earth, and we have an obligation that things should make sense to us. We should understand the bracha, and we're not all mystics. I know there are a lot of mystics out there. I view being a mystic as a failure. When you can't go and make sense out of life and live life on this world, so then you have to go and you have to live in the mystical world to Olam of a Kabbalah, and that's really what happened with Shabbos and Tzvi. That's really what Kabbalah came out. Kabbalah came about. If not, I mean, it's my take on it. Maybe you're telling me I'm not encouraged saying this. Maybe okay, but my take is Kabbalah came into existence about 400 years ago, during the time of the aftermath of Shabbos and Tzvi, when people could not, when it was very hard to deal with the world of reality. When the world of reality makes absolutely no sense, 0, 0, 0. You become extremely desperate to find meaning in life, to find an approach to understand how this world works, and therefore you tend to go into the mystical, everything is, whatever it is. It's an escape. It's not reality. It's much greater madrega to live in the world of reality. We have an advantage today, because today we are able to look back. And this is really what I told you on Thursday or Friday from Rabbi Gudal and Shur. From a Gedali, we'll talk about it later on. Want to stick around? Talk about it later.
Well,
I can't talk about it.
Maybe I'll come back.
11:30. Okay, I'm really on my side. So, Rabbi Gedalia Yeshua says that we don't need the Din Bisman Hazeh. It's so obvious. The things that are happening in the 21st century, the fulfillment of the Geula and how the world is accelerating towards the Geula, it's so easy to see the Yad Hashem. Today, we don't need Kabbalah. Today, we're able to live the world al derech hateva. 400 years ago, it was a lot worse. It was a lot worse, and there was a need for this escape. Now, how do we get into this? I don't know. But Avraham Avinu was seeing the stars. The stars are a wonderful thing. It's very mystical. But sheep is counted. It's something which is a rebuild. There's an increase, and everyone is unique. That is the description Hashem is describing when the Mashiach comes. When Mashiach comes, you're going to multiply to the nth degree. But Hashem is not giving us the bracha of the stars and the sand. He's giving us bracha of sheep.
And it's another, when you say, when you talk about the Holocaust, this expression is used. It's 6 million.
Yeah.
There are statistics. When you see about individual people, is already, you feel it.
Feel it, right. That's a very big problem of there's a Gemara. There's a Gemara, where Rabbi Akiva, he went to a city, and he told them about the Korban. He told them what happened. And there was no emotion. They just, okay. And then he told them that thousands, millions of people died. And they didn't respond. Then he told them a story about one person, an individual. And they were all moved to tears. So he's saying very good. Sometimes when you talk about the tzibur, it's hard to connect. When you focus on the individual, then indeed you connect. One of the very popular things in Kinnis is the Ben Ubas of Rabbi Yishmael. I heard this in many places, is that most of the Kinnis is the klal, the Bayis Rish and the Bayis Sheni and this and that. It's all the klal. When you get to the kin of the Ben Ubas of Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol, the emphasis becomes on the individual, the tragedy that happened to the Yechidim, to the individual. Say you have two children, they're taken captives, they're all alone, they're scared. Someone wants to do a terrible thing to them, to mate them, to produce offspring. The focus is the yochid. And indeed, that kina has captured the attention of a lot of the farshim. So, you know, there's certain kinas you don't skip. You don't dare skip. That's one kina you don't dare skip, right? You can skip a lot of kinas. For that one, if you skip, you're in a lot of trouble. So, right, he's saying over here, so here is definitely an element of ribui. It's a very unique tzoyin in Chazal. It's something called asiri yihi, a kodesh, we count sheep. When Mashiach comes, everyone is going to be choshev. Everyone is going to be, there's a uniqueness, everyone will be appreciated. Look how things have evolved. Talk about Heseba. Heseba, the night of Pesach. So are women mechuyev to Heseba? So it used to be definitely not. Women don't, only chashuvim do heseva. What does the Ramah say? Noshe didon chashuvas. Our women, this man has that every single woman is chashuv. Okay, by the Seder, you don't pour your own cup, someone pours it for you. What do people don't know, realize, why does every single person have a shamus on his Chanukah menorah? So the main, it's because you should not be nene le'oira. That's one reason. One of the reason that's given in the Gemara, I mean, it's explicit in the Gemara, is because the Adam Chashuv, who? If you're an Adam Chashuv, Tsaruch Ner Acher. A regular person puts the Chanukah menorah on the table, Meikar Adin does not need, it's noticeable. It's noticeable that it's for the mitzvah of Chanukah. But an Adam Chashuv always has on the table a Ner. Always has a Ner in the house burning. So the Gemara, if you're an Adam Chashuv, in order to show that the Ner on the table is lit, L'shem Mitzvah Chanukah, Tzorach Ner Acher. So every single person in Klal Yisrael, even the smallest little child, lights a Shamus. No one's coming to be Nene from the Or, or from the other times, because you don't, and just in case you're Nene from the Ner Chanukah, you should not be Nichshol. The Ner is HaKodesh. So you light another Ner, so if you have pleasure, you can say you have pleasure from the Shabbos, you do not have pleasure from the Ner Chanukah itself. In today's day and age, no one is coming to count their money by the Ner Chanukah. It's ridiculous. Everyone has, the electricity is on, everyone has another way, everyone has a smartphone, they have a flash on a smartphone. Everyone has another way to count their money. No one needs to come to Ner Chanukah. So why do we have it? Adam chashiv hu sarach ner acher. Everyone is chashiv today. When Mashiach comes, everyone is going to be chashiv. I told you this for a long time ago. We learned this. It's unbelievable vart. Unbelievable vart about time of Purim. And time of Purim, what happened? Sak v'efer yutsa l'rabim. Okay, the sake was spread out for the masses. So look in the Mishnah Masechta Tainis. The Mishnah there says that what was the procedure when there was a tzom, a fast day, when there was no rain? You go out to the Rechoiva Sho'ir, and you bring out the Sefer Torah, the Teva, and then everyone puts on sak for Efer. And it says, so it says in the Mishnah, the Nasi, which is the Melech, and the Av Bezdin, they do not put sak for Efer directly upon their body. Instead, the Gabai, the Memuneh, it's the Mishnah. The Memuneh is the one who puts upon the Melech and upon the Abezdin the sack for Efer. The Rav says, why? To be Mevazel, more. Why? Because they're the leaders and it's their responsibility. The Tosfos Yonder says, it's not a Pshat. He disagrees very strongly with the Rav and says, that's not only a Mevazel, the Melech, the Abezdin. It's not Lufi Pumfakert, the Chashuvas. It's not Lufi Kavoidom that the Melech and the Abezin should put the sack for Efer directly on themselves. Salafi Kvoidah. The Memuneh, the assistant, he does it for them. But everyone else, it says in the Mishnah, you go and you take the ash and do it yourself. What do you think you are? You take the ash, you do it yourself. You put on the sack of yourself. So the Kasha is, and so this Kasha meets in the Medrash. It says in the Megillah, Hashmila, Harigul Abed is called Yudim. Mordechai and Esther rally the troops. Sak for Efer, Yutsa lo Rabin. It was spread out for the Rabin. Pasuk should say, Love Shu Rabin. Or Lokhu, they took the Efer themselves, or they dressed themselves. Then why does it say Yutsa? It was put out for the Rabin, which has the connotation that no one put the ash and the sackcloth upon themselves. Every single person was a recipient of someone else doing it for them. Someone else put the ash on you, and someone else dressed you in the sackcloth. So the answer is because that's exactly what Mordechai taught this generation, that when you mourn with dignity. You don't just mourn like a nothing. Everyone is chashuv, and this is necessary in order to bring to the mevatel the gzera. It's not going to be enough just to mourn. We have to mourn with dignity. And the way you mourn with dignity is that you're an adam chashuv. Everyone has to feel important. If you feel important, that's going to enhance the feeling of mourning in Klal Yisrael. And that itself was a major contributing factor to the Gula. Not just that they mourned and they fasted. It was L'Rabim, they mourned with dignity. Everyone was made to feel important. Your contribution was extremely significant in being Mevatel, the Gzera Ra. So you see here the end of days. End of days. This is like Mamash describing. We went through all these psukim. These psukim, Mamash, most Mashiach psukim. The Zorak Yilechem Ma'ayim Tehu Tahar Tehem Hashem Tehu Yitzhahar and all the things we learned last week. And what's the very, very end? I'm going to cause you to become numerous. You're going to explode. You're going to explode in population and number. So we already have a precedent for this. We have a precedent for this going all the way back to Avraham Avinu. Koye Zaracha. What? Mitzrayim, Ko Yezaracha. And where's the number? Where's the Kechol Asher Asfasim? Where's that bracha? Kechol Asher, where did we get that bracha?
Yeah,
Avram also?
Yeah, Avram.
That's Kechovim. And what about the Kechol Asher Asfasim? Who does it say that by?
I think he has both. In other words, what the Mepharshim say that, you know, if you're going to be, you know, why, what's the difference between the heavens and the sand? If you're going to do the mitzvahs the way you're supposed to, it's going to be like stars. Sand, people walk all over it. So if they're going to be, there'll be many, but if they're not, they'll be compared to sand, where you just walk on it if they're not doing.
These are the two metaphors.
Yeah, that's one.
And here, we're shocked. We're really shocked to describe a whole new metaphor. A whole new metaphor for the abundance, the ribuy of Klal Yisrael. Sheep. Why sheep? Because sheep is something you count. When Mashiach comes, we're not just going to have the bracha of being numerous. Everyone's going to be chashuv. Hard to imagine, huh? Yeah.
Maybe there's another angle also that sheep need to be cared for.
Okay.
Stars don't.
Okay.
At this time,
Hashem's in the kiyah for us. That's another idea. Okay, that's another. That's another. Another approach. Another idea to explain the sleeves of why it's such. Okay, I am panim l'Torah, but I just wanted to take note of this idea that we're deviating from what we would expect to give a new idea. All right, let's see what is in Rashi. Rashi Lamed Zayin says, "Idorish l'Beis Yisrael espata." Beautiful words. What is an idorish? This is really what the mitzvah is. Idorish means I will allow myself to be enticed, I'll be receptive towards your tefillah. Espate is a much more powerful word. It's an enticement. I allowed myself to be enticed. Lohem bisfilosam through their prayers. Bidor shamosi alzos, when they seek me out, when they come to seek me out, that they should multiply. I will listen. Arbe oisam adam, I will be marbe oisam man. Kitzoin l'roiv, like sheep, like just like sheep multiply, so too they will multiply. Lamiches Rashi kitzoin kadoshim shibo b'liushlaim b'moedi psachim. So Rashi here it's something which he quotes from the Targum, which is not in the Mitzudos, and just made no mention whatsoever of Pesach. He just said sheep, like holy sheep. People they come. The shol shadon to bring the oilos shriya, shalme achagiga, whatever it is. He says because of the Targum, the mitzvahs did not make the mitzvahs for whatever reason. He did not focus on Pesach. Once you add Pesach to the mix,
it
you open.
Says here that the Targum belongs to the previous pasuk, not to
the. Right, there's a mistake. This Lamed Zayin. This Lamed Ches. Pasuk Lamed Ches just says. Arbe oisam kitzoin adam. Now we describe kitzoin kadoshim so different. It should be a lamed ches. When you come to Targum, it should say shibol yishlaim b'moya. Right. Kitzoin kadoshim is a pasuk lamed ches. Right. I'm sorry. Right. So it's already corrected. It. There was a mistake in one of the editions. Okay. Right. Okay. Fine. Whatever it is. Kitzoin kadoshim loshnacher. Okay. That's one interpretation. Loshnacher ketagumoy askelun be'enosha ve'atz. The atz lachinun biv ira, I will cause you to be to multiply with people, and you will be atz la nichun. How do you translate that? You have the translation for that in your.
Back to me again.
In pasuk lamed ches, the targum kitargumoy askenun. You will increase be'en nosho in man.
I will multiply you with men, and I will cause them to prosper. Mm-hmm.
Cause the men to prosper with cattle. So yes, in this interpretation,
in other words, that their sins will not be remembered.
Kiloimar shelo yiyu avoino sehem niskodim alehem. Their sins will not be remembered. In other words, by bringing animals, we'll bring korbanos. Hashem will cause us to have many animals, and those animals seemingly will be used as korbanos. Those korbanos will be mechaber for our sins. All right. All he's saying is that when it says kitzoyin kadoshim, does that mean that we are going to be like sheep, or it means we're going to be like men, like human beings? And in addition to being a human being, Hashem will also cause us to be successful and have a lot of animals. And those animals we're going to represents our wealth, also represents opportunities to bring korbanos to mechaper for our sins. Studying along those lines. Okay, but again, the other point we mentioned before is the point that he compares it to Pesach. And Pesach is when you bring a lot of sheep. Now, this is an idea we once discussed on a Friday a long, long time ago, is that Karban Pesach doesn't have to be a seh. Or Karban Pesach can be a goat. Okay, min hakvasim oimin ho'izim. And in fact, the first Karban Pesach on record was, which who's the first Karban Pesach in the Torah we have on record? It's really midrashic. It's not a real Karban Pesach. That by the Birchos Yitzchak, when Yitzchak gave the Birchos, wanted to give it to Esav, and Yaakov stole the Birchos through the help of Rivka. So what did Rivka say? Take from my
sides.
Shnei Gidoyei Izim. Rivka told Yaakov, go to the backyard. I have from the ksuba a right to take every single day gidoyei izim. Take two gidoyei izim, and we're going to prepare it. The matamim asha ohev avicha, and the Chazal tell us this was the korban Pesach, and that's why ba'achicha b'nirma b'chochma. I ate the afikoymin. Ein maftidin achra Pesach afikoymin. Once Yitzchok ate from the matamim of Yaakov, he he was no longer able to eat a second meal from Esav. One, Rashi says, one was the Chagiga, and one was the Karban Pesach, because Karban Pesach must be Nechal ala Soiva. The Karban Pesach must be in the state of satisfaction. You have to be satiated. So therefore, since Nechal ala Soiva, he had first to eat the Karban Chagiga. Okay, so it's very clear in Chazaka. It is a Medrash. It's not Pshut Shal Mikra, obviously, but it's very popular. It's so popular. Unfortunately, it's more popular than the Pshat. Okay, it is, this is the, that he ate the Karban Pesach. And what was Karban Pesach? Was it a Seh or was it a Gedi? It was a Gedi. It was a goat. And yet we find in the time of Chazal, there's almost no mention of anyone bringing goats. If you study the Agada, the history, I don't have the details.
That was also a sheep.
Sheep. Everything is sheep. Yeah. Give them the best, the tail, the fat tail, the male, the female. Everything is always sheep. So what's going on? Why is it that when it comes to Karban Pesach, the Torah explicitly says, "Min hakvosim oy min ho'izim," for some reason, the minhag Yisrael is to bring sheep, and you don't find almost anywhere.
Maybe more numerous.
Okay, so you'll say it's more numerous. Maybe it tastes better.
The reference is when Yitzchok says to Esav, "Havil tzayid, haseli matamim."
It's a gedi.
To trap.
Ah, very nice. You're saying that Yaakov and Bidav. So Yaakov, that means that Yitzchak Bidav wanted the Karban Pesach should be from a gedi. A gedi, not from tzayin. Okay, so there is something. We once spoke about this. I don't remember what we said, but there's an idea that there are two. The basic thing that I remember is that a gedi represents Sur Meira. Tzoyin represents Asei Tov. There are two different elements to the Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach, Mitzad Echad, is it's Avodah Zarah. The Avodah Zarah, the Avodah What was the Seh? Now it's coming back to me. What was the Seh? The Seh was the idol of Egypt. The goat was not the idol of Egypt. On what happened on the 10th day of Nisan, Shabbos HaGadol. Why was Shabbos HaGadol? The very great miracle. What was the great miracle? That all the Jewish people took the idol of Egypt and in their face said to them, you know what, we're going to slaughter your idol. So this should have, Al Pi Derech HaTeva, sparked a war where the Jews would have been slaughtered like the sheep, right? They would have been slaughtered. What happened? A miracle happened and nothing happened. The Egyptians were afraid to start up and they let the Jews slaughter the sheep. The Jews did not need to provoke the Egyptians. They could have very simply, since Hashem gave them a choice, min hakivosim or min ho'izim, they did not need to provoke the Egyptians. They could have selected the goat. There's no need to start up. Today we wouldn't dare do this. Today you wouldn't provoke a non-Jew.
It wouldn't be politically correct.
So we had a way out. Not to provoke. There was no need for there to be a Shabbos HaGadol. We could have taken the goats, and tied the goats to the bedpost, and the Egyptians wouldn't even blink. They wouldn't even know the difference. Klal Yisrael says, oh, Hashem gives a choice. Lahachas. We can either shech the sheep or the goats. If we shech the goats, they won't pay attention. But if we shech the sheep, wow, it's going to provoke them. It's going to get them all roused up. We want action. Okay, they were hungry for action. Okay, and that's what they did in order to be Makadei Shem Shammai. So that is why they Bedavka chose the sheep, and that's what produced Shabbos HaGadol. And for all generations, sheep became the thing to do it. Because indeed, what does it say? Mishchu ukuchu lochem tzom. Mishchu me'avodah zarah, withdraw from avodah zarah, and offer a korban to Hashem. Taking a sheep is in the geder of mishru. It has another element of coming into Pesach by rejecting all of the false ideologies of the world, renewing your covenant with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. A gedi, on the other hand, has, I don't know what the gedi is. We spoke about this. The gedi, on the other hand, has a whole different approach. What the gedi is. The gedi is more of a positive approach. It's not necessarily a negative approach. You have to study what is a gedi symbolic of. What did it mean to Jewish people at that point in time? To Yitzhak, obviously, it meant quite a bit. Because if Yitzhak indeed said, I want bedav with my Karban Pesach. Shnei gidoyei izim. Ramayevsky says, what is the mile of a gedi? You have to work for it. You have to capture it. You have to go out into the field. You have to work hard to find and capture. It's a very swift. A goat is a very, very, very clever creature. It slips away very, very quickly. You have to work very hard to capture it. Sheep, they just like sheep. Unfortunately, that's the expression. Sheep is easy prey. They're right there. They're not going anywhere. Easy to take.
They get away because they're great climbers.
Goats.
Yeah.
Yeah. The goats they're very. They climbers. Slip away. They're very agile. There's a good word for them. They know how to get it.
Sharon have an important role in.
A sawyer. That's a different idea. That's also a goat. The sawyer is an adult male goat. A gedi has to. The Karban Pesach has to be a young. Has to be within its first year. I think. Has to be within the first year. A sawyer is an adult. Ein achanami. Okay, but Karban Pesach, you have a choice. If you take the tzoyin, it's a rejection. It's a statement that my avoid in Karban Pesach, you have two different avoidas. You have the avoid coming to Karban Pesach within the gedi, the avoid coming within the tzoyin, the seh. If you want to come within the gedi, your avoid is, I have nothing to reject. Like Yitzchak. Yitzchak was a kodosh merechem. Yitzchak was holy from the day he was born. He had nothing to reject. Avraham was the one who had to reject. Avraham or Ivri had to reject Avodah Zarah. Yitzchak had nothing to reject. Yitzchak was born. He was FFB, proof of birth. Mm-hmm. It wasn't an issue to come and knock out all the idols, or smash the idols. That wasn't his Avodah. His Avodah was even harder to a certain degree. You come into a world, you're very powerful. Everything is given to you on a silver spoon. What then is your contribution? You have to work very, very hard to go higher. Yitzchak's avodah to Karban Pesach was the gedi. Gedi is Vasilva Malayevsky's approach. The mile of the gedi is you have to trap it. You have to go out into the field, into the sodeh, and work very, very hard to capture, to accomplish something. But Avraham, his avodah was, he didn't bring Karban Pesach, but if he would have brought a Karban Pesach, it would have been the tzayin. It would have been said, because his avodah was, Mishchu lochem me'avodah zarah, ukuchu lochem tzayin, reject the avodah zarah. So here, if we just take that, according to the Targum, according to Rashi, they're mentioning when it says over here, Kitzoin Kodesh and Losel, when Mashiach comes, Hashem's going to make us numerous, we're going to multiply. And the way Hashem describes our multiplication is Bedavka Kitzoin Kodeshim. And the Targum and Rashi inject like Karban Pesach. Just like when they came to the base of Hamikdash, wherever you give a look, there's a sheep running around, nuns all over the place. That's what it's going to be, Losalova. That adds another dimension to what's going to happen when Mashiach comes. It's going to be a rejection of all of the false ideologies that are out there in the world. And that's very true today. Today, we're swamped. Today, the whole world, everyone has a hashkafa. Since we live in a big global village with technology, everyone's hashkafa is being forced down your throat. Wherever you look, there's Western civilization, their hashkafa, and you can divide them into a million different varieties. And at the same time, you can't live one moment without being thrown upon you the hashkafa of the Muslims, Allah Akbar, all these you're just influenced by it. You can't wherever you turn, they walk on the streets. We live in a world where everyone's hashkafa is being thrown at your face. And everyone is confused. And even within each hashkafa, there are so many varieties. Okay, in America, Baruch Hashem, it's a free country. There are many varieties of Western civilization. When Mashiach comes, we're going to be Kitzoin Kadoshim. The essence of Tzoin, Karban Pesach, is Mishlu Lochem Min Avodah Zarah Ukuchu Lochem Pesach. It's going to be the tzoyin, not the gedi. It's going to be the rejection of all the nonsense that's floating and circulating out there in the world. Okay, now let's do the Radak. Radak, Pasik, Lamed, Zayin, Lamed, Ches, says, koi marsh look about those doors or the year need rush lahem zos have lahem shabo sam I'm also going to be I'm going to allow myself to be sort out with regard to this bracha kat soy nadam adam hem yisro shem adam kmo shprash lo mailo adam adam okay that goes back to his past that only clients were called human beings only we have the distinction to be called a human being the nations of the world have sunk to such a low level this moisar adam min abehema ayin They've sunk to a level where there's really no difference between man and animal. We see this today in this world. Man has no dignity whatsoever. There's no difference. It's just a matter of impulse. You live with impulse. Whatever your impulse tells you to do, that's what you do. The difference between man and animal is a man has the ability to restrain himself, to discipline himself. Animal does not have that ability. Animal is pure impulse. Only Klal Yisrael through the Torah is called an Adam. The rest of the world are animals. Or you're living based upon your impulses. Next, V'yamar Ketzoyin im Chaf Hayidia, the perish Achar Kain, what kind of sheep, Ketzoyin Kadashim, Yisrael Turgim, Ketzoyin Adam, As Geinun Be'enosho, I'm going to make you numerous with men, Ve'atzlachinun Biv'ira, I'm going to make you successful with sheep, you're going to be wealthy. Wealthy with a lot of money. Pasuk Lamaches Tmeda, Ketzoyin Kadoshim, Uperish Achaken, Ketzoyin Yerushalayim, B'moyendecha, V'zer Shana, V'zer HaKadoshim, Shachon Yom Nevim, Yisrael, Yerushalayim, Shalosh Pamashana. So you see that Radak is not learning like the Targum that we're dealing with Karb Pesach. He learns like the Mitzudos, that omits Pesach, just says like during the Shalosh Rugolim, there are numerous animals roaming the street because they're all being prepared for Korbanos. Shohayu Rabim, Herodim, Hechorevos, Bob, Tsir, Horesh, Kevilus, and Tirgim, Ka'amo, Kadisho, Ka'amo, Dim Dakan, Vasan, Li Ushlaim, Bisman, Moed, Pischa. So here he quotes a Targum that says Pesach. Kain, Yehvon, Kirve, Ara, the Israel, the cities of the Jewish people, Bidi, Havao, Horvon, that in the past were destroyed. Malion, Enosho, will be filled with people, Amo Beis Yisrael, the Yid'un, Are, Ano Hashem, and they will then know that I am Hashem. Amo Bezman Moin HaPitzvah, Ratzalama, Ki Oz HaYatzen Meruba B'Yushalayim, Ki Koch Boim B'Yushalayim, Ha'yim Kolechot Es Pitzvah. Everyone bring a Karm Pesach. Lishchoy Tsham, Ula Oichloy Tsham, Hidu Dir Kmo Shekosu B'Atayu, like it says in the Torah. Okay, so this concludes over here, the Radaka meets Yom Sukkim.
By the way.
Yes?
At least in my father's day, But it came to cold on the
orange. Yeah.
People used to say
tzon kadosh. Oh, right. Thank you for reminding me.
The sound of the sheep. Yeah.
By kol hanorim.
Right.
Right. So there's a Hasidic shemit like this. That's right. There's
even
a
non-Hasidic, my father remembers
it. So what exactly do they do? What do they do? They call the children, or what do they say?
This was the call to the children to come up, right?
They call them up with the term Tzoyin Kadoshim.
Yeah,
I've heard this. I actually...
In the middle of a carcass, someone would yell out,
Tzoyin Kadoshim, that's right.
Say,
Yeah? So
my
that's the minute. So what's the time of this minute? It's a very bizarre minute. Yeah, I know about this. There's a phenomenal CD called
Tzoyin Kadoshim.
No, it's Hakafah. I think it's the best CD, and now the CDs are over bottle, but that's when I first noticed it. They had all the Simchas Torah songs. Beautiful songs. Simchas Torah songs. It's a Hasidisha CD. And there, I wanted, all of a sudden, in the middle of the CD, the guy screams out, Tzoyin Kadoshim. And then they go into a nigun. What is that? What's Tzoyin Kadoshim? So I asked someone. He told me, yo, this is a Hasidisha minigun on Simchas Torah. You call out Tzoyin Kadoshim. I never looked into it. But I was reminded when I prepared, even today, I was thinking about just mentioning it to you, but it's a minute, obviously, it comes from this.
Right.
And it also makes a lot of sense, because a lot of Simchas Torah, Shmiyat Seres, is all rooted in Yimai Samashiach. Right? There are seven, everything in this world is seven, and Bayoim HaShmiyat Seres Tiyalochem, Shmiyat Seres is all Me'ein Le'osil Lovo, the eight, L'mala Midrach HaTeva, and being that this pasuk here refers to Yimos HaMashiach at the very end with Tzoyin Kadoshim, obviously that meaning of calling Tzoyin Kadoshim relates somehow to this pasuk that we read today. Very, very good, very important.
Thinking, perhaps the difference between Ezim and Sheep is a very significant one in terms of, you know, what you're thinking, what it represents, in that goats are wild and
sheep are more domesticated.
So what is that? What is the symbolism of that? Very simple. Somebody who's brought up from, he's like sheep, he goes along. The problem is, they always need somebody as a leader. They don't do anything on their own. They need somebody to lead them because they're too tame. Goats are wilder, and they don't have, there's not a flock of sheep, goats. They're, each one can handle his own survival, whatever it is. They're not like sheep. Sometimes you need somebody, you need goats.
It's a different nature. You have to properly understand.
It's a danger in sheep because nobody takes the forefront and they just...
We have to properly understand the difference in the nature between these two creatures, and then we have more of an appreciation why Yitzchak B'davka selected a Gedi, a goat, and why we, Ad Hayom Hazeh, not Namash Hayom Hazeh, but we Chazal focus primarily on the sheep. Okay, this is an idea. Mr. Rappel, you have something? You want to say something? Okay, now we begin a new Nevuah. Now this concludes the Nevuah. Now we come to another Nevuah, which also is part of the Mashiach, the Atzamos Vaveshes. This is the Haftarah and Shabbos, Chol Hamoed Pesach. Shabbos, Chol Hamoed Pesach, we refer to, is it Pesach, is that correct? Shabbos, Chol Hamoed Pesach is when we read this Haftarah. It's interesting that if it comes out, it's not Ruchach, it doesn't have to happen. You can have a Chol Hamoed when there is no Shabbos. So you don't necessarily lay in this Haftarah every single year. That itself is something interesting, is that How relevant is the message of what we're about to learn? Yechezkel says it was upon me the Yad Hashem by Yotzieni. He took me out, Beruach Hashem, in the spirit of Hashem, Vayinicheni, and he put me, he deposited me beseich Habika in the valley. L'chor the Bika is the valley in the beginning of the Sefer Yechezkel, Kvar in Nahar Kivar, where Hashem showed Yechezkel the Maisa Merkava. He saw the Maisa Merkava. So there's Vihi Melea Atzmos, and this valley was filled with bones. Okay, so it seems that the Nevuah of Maisa Merkava took place in the same place where in the valley, or in that vicinity where there were dead bones. You would extinct. How could that be? The Maisa Merkava is Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodashim. It's the most holy of holy of holy. Bones is the Makar of Tumah. A dead body is the greatest level of Tumah. Hashem is showing Yechezkel the Mare of the Maisa Merkava in a place of bones, in a place of the ultimate Tumah. That itself is a lesson.
Bones of Kedoshim.
But it doesn't matter. It's Tumah. It's the Koyach of Tumah.
Yeah.
First of all, some say, well, every Jew is holy. Every Jew is holy. So we're always going to talk about that. These people who die. Okay, fine, but every Jew is still holy. Okay, you can't go judge a Jew just because the Jew died because he didn't have Avera, they left Mitzrayim too early, they bowed down to Avodah Zarah, whatever it is. But a Jew is a Jew. Okay, so there's a degree of kedusha. But any event, but no matter how holy a Jew is, the dead body is mitame. You don't expect a Kadosh Baruch Hu to appear to you in the cemetery. I want to go talk to you. Come into the cemetery. We'll have a conversation. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, come into the oil moed. Okay, it's not the cemetery. Yet the Mefarshim connect. They like very much to connect Besech HaBika, because what other Bika do we have? The only other Bika we have is the beginning of Sefer Yechezkel, so they like to say, oh, so the same way Hashem came in the beginning of Yechezkel and showed him the Maisa Merkava, and Hashem went and did Tchias HaNesim, of the bones, that Samas HaYaveshos, it was the same location. Wait a minute. That should set off all the alarms. Hashem showed Yechezkel the Maisa Merkava in the vicinity of a cemetery? So the answer is yeah. That's exactly the point. Exactly the point is, don't think of the Shbaruch Hu, there's any place in this world where the Shbaruch Hu is not to be found. Hashem is Meloi Chol Aretz Kavodo. It's not a steer to Hashem to allow Hashem to be found even within Golis, even within the dark in Auschwitz. Okay, even within the stench of the dead bodies in Auschwitz, Hashem is there. The Shechin is there, the Merkava is there. That's really what this idea is saying. That is something that's a very important idea.
So let's see, you have in this week's parsha coming up, you know, in the Eretz Horim Kaos.
In what?
In Akev. Yeah. Again, you know, it's a land of hills and valleys. I
Valleys, the because. So you say you want to say it's a place where there's a lot of spirituality and a lot of downs. There's a lot of there's a lot of courses. There are a lot of problems. There are still a lot of problems. It's very interesting. Okay, let's go over here. It says over here first in the Mitzvah Pasuk Aleph, one pasuk at a time. These are hard pasukim. These are very 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 powerful stuff. Pasuk Aleph, Yad Hashem, Koyach Chozek Hanevuah. This is a theme we have many times. What exactly is Nevuah? How do you do, what is Nevuah? What is it? Just a lullaby? A person is just sitting on his hammock out in Hawaii, sipping the pina colada, and all of a sudden the prophecy comes into his mind. It's not the way it works. We have many Makaris that it's a very intense, frightening experience to receive prophecy. It's always described with very harsh, frightening terms. Koyach Chozek HaNevuah. It's a very uncomfortable experience to receive the Nevuah of Hashem. It's a frightening experience. Vayotzieni. Hoitzi Yosei Mimikub. Hashem took me out of my location. Beruach Hashem. Return to Leimar. Ha-hoitzo Beritzoin HaMokoyim. This event took place because Hashem willed it to be. Uloi Meritzoini. Ki Im Bal Korchi. It happened against my will. Vehi Malaya Atzamos, Hashem took me into this valley, and the valley was full of bones. Amu Razal, so the Mitzvah is being very selective in who these bones belong to. Shahayu Mibnei Ephraim, Shemiharu, Esakates, Loses, Mimitzraim, Vaharagum, Anshe Gas, one of the seven nations of Canaan. Hagiti. Hagiti is Gas, the descendants of Ephraim. They left Egypt 30 years too early. They made a calculation. 400 years. Indeed, it was 400 years from, I'm not going to say because I don't remember. So it was 400 from Bispen Absarim. But it was, so what was the 30 years? 430?
30 years was later. I mean, they made the wrong calculation. They said 400 years.
From the Leidas, but from the Bispen Absarim, instead of Leidas Yitzhak. Yes. Right. So it was, Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim 430 years from the Bispen Absarim. Which from the Bris Bein HaBisarim until the Leidas Yitzchak was
30 years.
So what was the mistake of Bnei Ephraim? They made the calculation 400 years from they were on the right track from the Bris Bein HaBisarim. So they thought it's time now to go. So they left Egypt 30 years prematurely. 30 years before Klal Yisrael left, Bnei Ephraim got up and they said, "It says in the Torah, Vavodim V'Inu Oisam Arba Me'oy Shana." Arba Me'o Shana begins from the Bris Bein HaBisarim. It's now 400 years. It's an Ace Rotzain. It's a good time. In the Shemayim, all of the stars are lined up. We're going to be successful. It's time to rebel. And indeed, they rebelled against Paro, and they forced their way out of Egypt, and they marched into Eretz Yisrael. And as they came into Eretz Yisrael, the Gittim, one of the seven nations of Canaan... What?
Right.
Gas. So the Plishtim is one is part of Canaan. No.
Gas. They were just people who were roaming the.
Hachiti, Hoyvay, Vayapriziv, Vayivusiv, Vayagot, Vayagot, okay, I made a mistake. Then I'm sorry. I made a mistake. Fine. So this nation went. They came out and they killed them. They all died. So these people, these were all descendants of Bnei Ephraim. And notice why was it only Ephraim? The Bnei Ephraim and not Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Because they took it much more personally than anyone else. They grew up. Ephraim and Manasseh were born in Egypt, unlike everyone else who came to Egypt later on. They experienced. And Ephraim sat and learned Yom V'Laila. Manasseh was the diplomat. He was the politician. And Ephraim sat in Koilel in Mitzrayim. So this any Shevet that had the full spiritual understanding, who had the greatest nisayon in dealing with Egypt, it was Ephraim. Because the other Shvatim, it's no sweat off my back. We'll go out 30 years later. We're not in any rush because they don't really relate to Egypt. They don't really view Egypt because they were not born in Egypt. I mean, they were born, everyone at that point in time, it was already 200 years later. But they all come from Canaan. We come from Canaan, from Yaakov Avinu. We came down to Egypt because of the famine. We're here. We're strangers here. We're able to deal with it, and we'll leave in the right time. Ephraim and Manasseh have a whole different approach. Ephraim and Manasseh, they were born into this culture. From day one, the moment they were born, their father was the Mishnah Lamelech, and they were told right away, you know, this is not our land. We don't belong here. We don't belong here. This is not our land. We really belong in Eretz Yisrael. It's like, you know, it's very similar. Like today, unfortunately, many Americans, it's a very big problem. A lot of Rabbanim, I think you told us a bit about this. Zionism is not what it used to be. People, the Jews in Galus, all over the world, Jews all over the Galus don't have this intense desire to make Aliyah. Nefesh for Nefesh, you see every day the people that are going to make Aliyah. But a lot of this is a very big problem. A lot of the Gedolim have acknowledged this, is that in previous generations, the yearning, v'lirushalayim ircha barachamim toshuv, was so much more intense by the average person than it is today. Why is that? So one answer is because due to technology, it's so easy to go. It's so easy to go. What's the rush? I can get on a plane in the summer and the winter, go visit. Children there, you go there, you visit, you go to the Kaisel. And with technology, I'm anyway linked in. I'm anyway hooked up through all the technology. I know what's going on there at Yisrael. You go to the Gedolim. In the previous generations, it wasn't like that. So in the mind, it plays with your mind. Psychologically,
you don't appreciate that.
Psychologically, since you never saw it, you don't have access to it. And that's where we belong. In our mind, it creates a yearning. It creates a yearning that is extremely intense. Previous generations, the yearning, the longing to come to Yerushalayim was just off the charts because they had no access to Yerushalayim. I can go whenever I want. So what's the big deal? I went last year. I'm going on vacation this year. I should live there also. I should pack up and live there. I really could if I want because...
So you're only talking about...
I'm giving you an example. But I'm trying to suggest is that
state of mind,
exactly.
The problem, I think, with you in general, is that the younger generation thinks that Israel always existed and doesn't remember.
Right, that's the problem.
Exactly. They don't remember. That's another dimension. That's another approach to the problem.
I gave an example this week. I'll pay Abdullah. You know, I said, you know, people who live in New York, and I said years ago, I remember, unfortunately, you know, I mean, not that it was a big deal, but, you know, my wife was always saying, we didn't go to the World Trade Center, blah, blah, blah. I said, oh, we'll go one day, you know, and we never came.
Since you always can do it, it's no big deal. It's okay. There are many dimensions. There are many dimensions to explain the problem. I'm just trying to suggest is the same way we look at this generation versus the previous generations, and we see there's a difference, and you can super analyze that difference in many, many different ways. There was a fundamental difference between everyone in Klal Yisrael and Ephraim. Why? Because everyone in Klal Yisrael came from Eretz Yisrael. That's where they all started out. They all had stories. My great-great-grandfather, he lived in Beis Shemesh. He lived in Hebron. He has it's still there. The house is still there. I have the keys to the house. B'nai Ephraim didn't have that. It's a different frame of mind. Now again, you have to work out the psychology, how did it all play out. But there's a fundamental difference between the B'nai Ephraim and the rest of Klal Yisrael in the way they grew up. That somehow percolated, and it came out in, we want to go. We want to go to Eretz Yisrael. So obviously, it's not yet the time. Don't go so quick, like the Mapilim. Okay, don't go so quick. You got to go in the right time. B'nai Ephraim had a very big Nisayon. And they went. And because they went prematurely and they were told not to go, unfortunately, they died.
The Gemara and Baba Basra, though, that attributes their mistake, not so much that they went out early, it's that being Ephraim, who they were, and Yosef saying, Mahali Semesat Mosai Mizei Ephraim, imagine the children of Yosef. They left without the bones.
Bones, aha.
They ran out. No, I think it's
interesting.
They left without the bones.
Without the bones, that's more of a chassar.
Yosef's children to do that?
Uh-huh, okay. That's right. Alright, so over here he learns. So the first mitzudos say, it says, Shahayu mibnei Ephraim, Shemiaru, Esakates, Lotzes, Mitzrayim, Barugim, and Shigas. They exited 30 years premature. This is one of many opinions which we'll come across very soon. Let's now see Rashi. Rashi, Hoysola Yad Hashem, Vayotzein, Biburuch Hashem. Yad Hashem, Kol Yad Hashem, Shebenevuah Lashon, Kifiyahu. Every time it's word Yad Hashem, this means a person is forced. This is not a pleasant experience that Yecheskel is going through. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is forcing him to do something. Shehoisa haruach koifa oso, the wind, the spirit, forced him, leilech to go, kimish tageya, el mokoim haruach chafetz, until he reaches, kimish tageya, kimish tageya, how do they translate kimish tageya? To exert?
It drove him crazy.
It made him, leilech kimish tageya, like a person who's a crazy person. He was forced. He was forced with an intensity. El Mokoim Sharuach Chavetz, the place where the spirit wanted him to reach. He was forced against his mind, against his will to come to this location.
Why was he attacked? Why did he do
that? Why? So you know, you have to see. It's like Yonah. Maybe you can say it was like the Maisa, same thing as Yonah ben Amiti. Did Yonah want to give Nevuah for the Anshei Nineveh? No. Why? He felt it wasn't fair.
Right.
It's
yeah, okay.
So same thing over here. So when we learn the parsha, we'll have to come back to this. Right? Remind me, keep this in mind. Is since over here it says it was against his will, ki mish tageya. Obviously there is a struggle. He doesn't want to do this. He doesn't want to give over this prophecy. And we're going to see that the Baruch Hu is giving Yecheskel the koyach to Mechai Mesim. Like Elisha and Eliyahu. You ask the average person, you think Hashem did the whole thing. Right? Hashem was Mechaye Mesim. That's not necessarily correct. We'll see the Sukkim soon. Hashem said, you Yecheskel, I'm giving you the koyach for you to be Mechaye Mesim. Just like Hashem gave Elisha and Eliyahu the koyach to be Mechaye Mesim. Yecheskel says, I don't want to do it. They don't deserve it. These are not good people. These are wicked people. Don't make me do something I don't want to do. Hashem says, too bad, I want you to do it. You don't have a choice. So Hashem is twisting his arm. Why? We have to know this. Why Taka did Yecheskel? What bothered him so much that we have to go through the Pesukim, and we're going to see a lot of ideas. There are a lot of ideas. Over here, there's pages and pages of this parish called the Minchah Gedolah, which I don't think you have in your Sefer, which is amazing. Yes, ideas that are just off the charts. Real beautiful ideas. And it brings out what exactly really is going on over here behind the scenes. Any event, Rashi over here, this is a very important Rashi, it's against his will. Next, now who are the bones? So Rashi now begins to elaborate a little bit more. Vehimele atzamos, v'arusen al-amru, shayim b'bnei Ephraim, that's what the Mitzudo said, shayotsu b'mitzrayim l'fnei ha-keitz v'haragum anshei gas. Hanolodim Oretz, the Anshei Gas were people who lived in Lynch, Kamosha Omar, Bidivri Hayomim. The Anshei Gas were people, they were residents, they were settlers of Eretz Yisrael. So that's a curious point. Why is it important for us to know exactly who killed the Bnei Ephraim? Why would it not be the Canaanim? You tell me the Gas is not part of the Canaanim. They're a different sect. So first of all, what are they doing there in the land?
If you remember, the route they took was the route through the Eretz Plishtim.
Yes.
Which is one reason why the Bnei Yisrael, when they eventually left the shrine, lo nacham.
Elokim derech eretz ki korevu. Right. So they. Gas is the capital of the Plishtim.
Isn't that what David went crazy when he had to run away?
Yes.
Being crazy.
He feigned insanity. He feigned insanity, exactly. His daughter, the king's daughter, was another case. So enough, right?
Another
Meshuggah, right?
And then he became the chief, he became a soldier.
Come to America, boy. You have a hard time.
General sent them back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chassam Meshugoyim? Am I lacking Meshugoyim here in my house? You bring me another Meshugoyim?
He became a soldier in Gass's army to the point he became almost like the second.
Who, David?
David.
It's a medrash.
The generals under Gass rejected. He said, how are you sending this guy to fight in front against the Jews? So he agreed, and he sent
him
back, and that saved David.
Right. A lot of beautiful midrashim. David had tainus on Hashem. Very fascinating for this generation. Baruch Hashem very well aware of these things. David complained to Hashem, why did you allow there to be in this world insanity? Mental health. If you're going to create people, Hashem, it's your duty they should be healthy, mentally stable in mind. It's not to anyone's advantage that there should be people out there in the world that are not mentally 100%. This is David's complaint. David, a very, very bitter complaint to Hashem. It's a chesaron in the Bria. So Hashem told David, there's a need for it. You may not understand, but there is a need. The day will come when you will understand why there is a need. Now, his need doesn't, my extremely limited understanding doesn't answer the question. So David had a need, he had to make believe he's crazy, and that saved his life. So how does that explain in today's day and age, 21st century, where Rahman al-Islam, there are millions of people in America alone who are taking medication for a chasara in the chemical imbalance of their brain. So how does that explain anything? I don't know. But Hashem's answer was, David, you don't understand this world. There's a lot for you yet to learn. There's a need for this. I made it in such a way because there's an important need. What that need is, that we do not understand. All right, let's finish up the Rashi. So over here, Rashi only gives one example, the Bnei Ephraim, and he adds at least another idea which the Metzudas did not say. It was Bnei Gas who lived in the land. Rashi is coming to emphasize something very important, which maybe we'll come back to. The Bnei Gas, not just on people on the road, these are settlers. What's that all about? Well, maybe we'll come. Let's see the Radak, and we'll stop Radak. Just one, the first pasuk. We'll go very quickly. Hashem gave me menucha. There's a steer in the pasuk. First, it says the Yad Hashem, which is an intense moment of frustration. It's a frightening moment. And then it says, "Vayotzeinu Abruach Hashem vayinicheni Hashem, calm me down." Okay, it's very interesting. The Radak is pointing out that there's a contrast. Starts out in a state of a tumultuous state, and then we come to a state of menucha. B'sech habika, over here the Radak is Efsher shehi habika shebo lo hanavua sham kivar. In the past, kemo shenema b'tchilas ha-sefer. In Paragimel, this is the same bika where he saw the Maisa Merkava. As we explain, it's not a steer for Hashem to be found in a place of Atzamos Yiveshos. The Ribbono Shel Olam was in Auschwitz. The place of the Atzamos Yiveshos, where all the bodies were burnt into bones, and they were charred. They were charred from starvation and from heat into being Atzamos Yiveshos. That's mamish, a very apt description of Auschwitz. Not the negative connotation of here. Over here, there's a negative connotation. They were sinners. The Chas HaShalom, Auschwitz, Kedoshim Tehoidim, Kazar Ikea, Masidim. But it was a place of Atzamos Yiveshos. And over here, Rashi is telling us, Radak is telling us, it's the same place where there was the Maisa Merkava. In the place of the Atzamos Yiveshos is a place where the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Chvoido V'Atzmai, in the Merkava comes. You can see the Maisa Merkava if you want to find it there. Okay, it's a very frightening thing. Many people went in Auschwitz, they came out apikorsim, or they were broken people. They couldn't deal with it. And many people, they came out of Auschwitz, they went from the experience, they started irreligious. And they, through the experience, they became a very, very big tzaddikim. One of the frightening things, I don't know if it was in Auschwitz, but one of the frightening things, one of the camps, they put up the paroiches, they took the paroiches from one of the batei kenesiyos in Poland, and they put it on the door leading into the gas chamber. Ze hashar la Hashem, tzadikim yovohu vo. A way to make to break the spirit of the kedoshim. Look, you really believe in God? You believe in your God and your Torah? How could it be then that we're taking the parochas from your Oron HaKodesh back in your shtetl, and we're putting over here, we're hanging it up on the gate leading into the gas chambers? Ze hashar la Hashem, tzadikim yovohu vo. You really believe in God still? So some people, Taka said, you know, this is already, this Adkan, this already I can't go with. This already. And some people, Taka said, that's right. Exactly the point. Ze hashar la Hashem. This is the path to Gan Eden. This is it. You're on the mark. You kotze la kotze. This is the Maisa. In the Atzamos Yiveshos, you can see the Maisa Merkava. Weiter. Let's see next Radak. V'himle Atzamos Targim Yerusam Garmei Enosho, the bones of man. This is a long radak, and it's a little bit late, so maybe we should really stop over here. It's not going to do justice if we just run through this, what we do tomorrow. Yeah.
Why is that? Some of, you know, these are bones that from the cemetery, you expect them not to be there. I mean,
what
there's a symbolism to say
so
Yuvesha.
So he talks about it, right.
Yeah.
They gave up hope.
Right.
Okay, I have three handouts. Averach HaShulchan, it's a little bit different because I had to make the copies somewhere else.
Yeah, no.
But they're a little bit different.
This is
the book.
No. This is the book I want.
Which one?
Daniel Weiss?
Who's the Daniel Weiss?
Read it. It's especially
important to me.
Very good. But the clown, the beast, you know. Like the other ones you still didn't read.
I gotta read it.
I bought a
record yesterday.
Sure,
but my attention.
One ten.
120
voltage.
Regular voltage. Regular. How many BTUs?
14,000.
That's a big one.
It's costing me reinstallation $1,500.
So much?
And it's going to get smaller, but
why so much? Does it cost so much money?
That's a lot. Grimmie usually has the best prices. I bought Friedrich.
You bought an American Friedrich or the China Friedrich?
No,
American. That's what it costs. But why do you want to buy an American? They say it's the same.
Okay,
a lot of money. Wow. Okay.
It's a lot of money.
It's a big unit.
How much BTU is yours?
I have a piece of junk. It's 10,000 BTU.
That big one is for 10.
No, on the porch is 14. That's a 40, but that's a China. That's a China.
Electronics.
The one that I bought to replace it is of course about $300. It's a Frigidaire, 10,000 BTU. And I installed it myself. I almost killed myself, but I did it myself.
Cool for hell.
What? I need someone to help me.
You try to do everything yourself.
No, I do myself.
Speak into the mic.
What?
Even the girl you try yourself.
What?
Even the girl you try yourself. You need.
Any help? Professional help.
I'll hold you.
It's too buff.
Right. No. Close your eyes. Spin the balance. You don't know what that is. You need. I have all these grandiose plans. I want to go here and there. The pressure is your back. It's hard.
It is. No matter how.
To make a phone call. I had four people. So yesterday morning, I decided I'd call. It's like three different people. One in California, one in Chicago, one in Toronto, one in Montreal. No one answered.
Kachi Darko Shalom.
I left a message, you know.
Kachi Darko Shalom.